Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. And the wildfires that we just heard about that scorched Kansas, they're just one example of an increasing phenomenon. Researchers report that wildfires are burning hotter and longer and doing more damage than ever before. Most of those researchers cite climate change as the cause. But then what about the people affected? Are they willing to connect a natural disaster to a broader pattern of climate change? Wide majorities of Americans believe that climate change is real. But in Kansas, a place we just heard from, only 30% of people say they really ever talk about it. That's according to new research from Yale University on our perceptions about climate change. Some of the data are striking. While Americans, by and large, believe that climate change is real and should be addressed, many don't believe it will affect them. And whether climate change is even an issue on your radar screen can vary widely depending on where you live. Joining us from Yale University is Jennifer Marlin, one of the researchers involved with the project. Jennifer, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, one of the really striking pieces of data at the very top of your study is the conclusion that across the country, really in no place across the country, is the belief that climate change is real and carbon dioxide is the cause of it under 50%. I mean, majorities everywhere believe this, right?
That's right. Nationwide, 70% believe that it's real now.
And that's a higher number than I think most people would have assumed. It's certainly higher than what I thought before I cracked your study.
Yes, we tend to underestimate how many people are really concerned about this issue, how many people believe it's happening now, and how fast the conversation is moving.
So support for regulating and curbing carbon is high, as you found. Then right. The key question for like a mind like mine is, why then lawmakers really won't do anything about it? We basically not only see no action from Washington on this, except, in places where the president can order things. We certainly see no action from Congress, but even active fighting against action on climate change. So the question is, if so many people believe this, why don't they pressure their politicians to do something? It seems like they kind of sit around and believe it.
Well, I think in the past, this hasn't been an issue that people have decided their votes on. But a lot of people are, it's sort of in the back of their mind, and they are concerned about it. But yeah, it hasn't been a motivating force in terms of politics. Although people are increasingly becoming more alarmed and realizing that it really is the time to act now. The changes in the weather, including the wildfires that you were talking about, I think a lot of more people are observing that now. And so it's been very slow, but it seems to be accelerating now.
But what does your research show then about personal stake, right? Because another one of the surprising things that you found is that while 70% of people believe this is real and a problem and has to be addressed, a lot of people don't believe that it's going to affect them personally.
Right. That's true. People are still thinking this is about melting ice and melting glaciers. It's about penguins and polar bears. They don't understand that it is about wildfires. It is about public health. It's about heat stroke and heat exhaustion and asthma and allergies and Lyme disease and all of these things that are affecting people personally. In general, we find that people do believe that it's going to harm future generations, for example. They think of it as something happening decades in the future, or maybe developing countries, due to sea level rise and island nations. But they're not connecting the dots, even though we're experiencing the impacts in southern Florida, in Louisiana, in Alaska, in the West. The impacts are happening now, but people are attributing those impacts to other factors when, in fact, it is climate change, it is global warming that's behind a lot of those events.
What did you find in terms of geography? Because another one of the interesting interactive maps showed that where you live in the country has a big influence on whether this is even really a factor in your daily life and your daily conversations with people.
Yeah, exactly. And what you see looking at the maps is in the Midwest, for example, people tend to be more skeptical about the issue. They're not really worried about it. You tend to see more, progressive states, California, New York, Oregon, Washington, New England has higher levels of concern and belief that it's caused by human activities, for example, and that regulating CO2 emissions is going to help. So you do see sort of traditional political divides, but a lot of the patterns aren't explained by politics alone. At the county level, for example, you see parts of Texas, in the southwestern counties of Texas, you see very high levels of concern about the problems in counties that have high proportions of Latinos. And in the Black Belt of the southeastern U.S., for example, Mississippi, Alabama, up into Georgia, with high African-American populations, those folks are really worried. And they tend to be disproportionately impacted by the kinds of changes that are going to be happening and already are happening. So you see demographic effects. You see economic effects as well, like in Wyoming and West Virginia, states that are dependent on coal. They tend to be more skeptical of the issue.
So if there is this real disconnect between sort of what people believe generally about climate change and whether they believe it affects them, therefore, hey, do something now, Jennifer Marlin. I mean, does this mean that, you know, just as an example, if I'm a person in Arkansas who will tell you, yeah, it's real, do I need to see wildfires licking the front door of my house or more floods in my neighborhood before I believe that I need to call up my politician and say, do something about this?
Yeah, I think there is an element of that. Actually experiencing the changes can be very persuasive. But we also know that people learn a lot through the media and learn by seeing what's happening in other parts of the country as well. And I think people inherently understand that burning coal, oil, and gas is causing pollution, and that's a bad thing. And we generally value, all of us value clean air, clean water, and we want to protect these things. So not necessarily. I don't think you have to have the flames, you know, licking at your own yard.
Right. Well, Americans do believe climate change is real and that carbon is the cause. The vast majority of us, 70%, believe that. The question is, what does it take to get people to demand the type of action and the tough decisions decades in the future to do something about it? New insights from Jennifer Marlin, Associate Research Scientist at Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is Martha from St. Louis. I rarely see butterflies anymore, but the biggest change is what I do see. As a kid growing up in St. Louis, I had never seen an armadillo in all of my life. And in the last 3 or 4 years, I see them everywhere as roadkill. That tells me something's really changing for the armadillos to be heading north.
Well, there's one story of climate change from St. Louis. We heard a devastating story from Kansas and the wildfires that scorched huge sections of that state earlier in the hour, and one rancher's experience of the devastation on his own farm. You've been telling us all this hour about changes that you see happening in your local environment as well. From Eugene, Oregon, I truly mourn the fact that I used to see butterflies daily, even flocks of butterflies as well, but my child has no idea that they did not used to be rare sightings. It feels so wrong. As always, we want to hear from you on this or any of the topics that you hear on the show. You can always call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can tweet us at The Takeaway, and you can always find me on Twitter. I'm at Todd Zwillick, and I always love hearing from you on social media, so hit me up there. Thanks so much for listening. I am Todd Zwillick, in for John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.